Every Woman is a womanist show about women making a difference and the men by their side. As 50% of humanity and 52% of eligible U.S. voters, women are not a special interest group. And every woman should work and vote toward nothing less than 50-50 participation in the social, political, and economic arenas. The opinions and views expressed on Every Woman are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily represent those of KKFI, staff, volunteers, or Midcoast Radio Project Incorporated. Good afternoon. This is Sharon Lockhart. Amy Bell is missing today. She is very ill and is unhappy not to be here. We have a great show lined up. We're going to start off with Beth Pike reading a shortened version of Women's E-News, and then we're going to hear from Helene Swanson, who is walking across the USA to promote the passage of the Equal Rights Amendment. So we'll get some history there and some current news, too, about a recent visit with Emanuel Cleaver's office yesterday regarding the National ERA Amendment. And then we'll have Ann Pritchett. And Ann may be joining us for this segment, too, if she pulls right up here. No, she says no. So then later we'll be joined by Ann Pritchett and Dr. Kristen Newhouse. And we'll talk about the KKFI fund drive is one important thing we'll be talking about, along with Dr. Kristen Newhouse being stripped of her medical license due to the political maneuvering of the Kansas House of Representatives. And there is a movement to get her reinstated, and we'll hear more about that. But right now, let's hear from Beth Pike reading Women's E-News.
All right. Thank you very much, Sharon. What I'd also like to remind our listeners, though, is that we are in the middle of our pledge drive, and so do call 888-931-0901 and be a part of the KKFI community and donate. Donate for the public affairs programs that you like so much. In news, in jeers, Governor Jerry Brown has signed a bill into law that makes the California now the first state in the nation to have clear definition of when people agree to sex. The new law seeks to both improve how universities handle rape and sexual assault accusations and to clarify the standards requiring affirmative consent, and also stating that consent cannot be given if someone is asleep or incapacitated by drugs. That law has been criticized for failing to compel colleges to report assaults to law enforcement. Also, more than three-quarters of voters say that they would be more likely to favor a candidate who supports increasing the minimum wage requiring equal pay for equal work, creating paid family and sick leave, and also providing affordable child and elder care. And this was a poll that was commissioned by Make It Work in October, around the 1st of October. In news to jeer, a federal appeals court has allowed Texas to immediately begin enforcing tough new abortion restrictions that will effectively close all but seven abortion facilities in the United States. The Associated Press reported this on October 1st, and no clinics will be left along the Texas-Mexico border or outside of any of the state's large urban communities. Australia is trivializing and sexualizing women in senior and leadership positions. A gender and media academic has said, as a new study reports, that young women are rejecting certain career paths because of an overwhelming perception that they will face sexism. And now this was reported by The Guardian on October 1st, and fewer than 1% wanted a job in politics, and almost half said sexist attitudes in Australia were increasing. Now this is according to a survey of 1,000 girls and women who were between the ages of 14 and 25, and it was done so by a children's rights organization, Plan International Australia. More than three-quarters of those surveyed have endured sexist comments, and then 30% believed it would be easier to achieve their ideal role if they were male. Also, a study found a decrease in women in high venture capital positions and in the venture capital world altogether, and this was reported by Business Week on September 30th. only 15% of the $7,000 venture capital-backed companies had female executives, and only 2.7% had female chief executives. The proportion of female venture capital partners also dropped from 10% in 1999 to 6% in 2014. And we just once again remind our listeners that we are still doing our fall pledge drive. And if you enjoy programs like this, you enjoy our public affairs programs, we want you to call in and show your support. 888-931-0901. Or you can also do so by going online, and that's at kkfi.org. So do give us a call, 888-931-0901. Or at kkfi.org.
Thanks, Beth. This is Sharon. I was recently talking to someone who said they'd been an avid public affairs listener all their life but had never called in a pledge, which made me think there must be a lot more people out there listening that aren't pledging than I realized. And I do hope that this opportunity you will choose to call in at 888-931-0901, because it is so important that we have programs like we hear on KKFI to tell us about what we don't hear in the whitewashed news out there that's so milquetoast and watered down that no one is getting the true picture of what is actually going on. And I think every woman does a pretty fair job of representing women's views, and we've recently started the Women's E-News to show people that around the world, women are being discriminated against. It's not just in the United States, it's around the world. It is a problem everywhere. So please call in if you like the programming at KKFI, Democracy Now! We have Jaws of Justice, Tell Somebody. In fact, this is a good time to plug alternative radio. David Barsamian is going to be at All Souls Unitarian Church tomorrow at 10 a.m. speaking. And in fact, there's a get-together tonight. I wish I knew the address, because I know people would be welcome to go there. Tom Crane's house. Anybody who would want to show up for that get-together to meet David Barsamian informally, it would be great. So please do call in now, 888-931-0901, and make your pledge to Public Affairs Programming and KKFI.
Absolutely. And we have, of course, the gifts. The $90 level, you get the T-shirt. And for $150, it's the guest DJ. And if you'd like both, well, it's $200 for the combo.
Great. And this, you know, we often don't mention it, and for many people who don't itemize their taxes, I'm not sure of the correct answer here, but this is tax deductible. If I think you have to itemize contributions, and I meant to check with my CPA to make sure of that before I made that statement, but it is a tax deductible contribution to a 501c3. And now we're going to, and that's number to call is 888-931-0901, and you can also become a sustaining member. Make it easy on yourself. $10 a month, $20 a month, automatically deducted from your checking or your credit card account, and you won't even miss it. And it'll mean a lot to KKFI.
Absolutely. It's a great way to donate.
And now we're going to talk with Helene Swanson, who I'm not even sure where she's from. Maybe California. We'll get into that later. But I want to tell how I happened to have Helene on the show today. Now, Helene, I must tell you, I had heard about you from Mary Mosley before I got a message on Facebook from Marion Dyer from Lawrence, Kansas, that she had a family friend who was in town or going to be in town, who's walking across the United States to promote the passage of the ERA state by state level. Mm-hmm. So you are known in the feminist community. Let me just say that.
Well, first I want to thank. Sometimes I get my words jumbled, so I hope that you are not literalists, but get the spirit from which I speak. I am from California. I hail from Sausalito, and this quest that I am on to see the United States ratify the Equal Rights Amendment comes from a long family tradition, both on my side and my late husband's side. My grandfather's mother was a suffragette in England. My mother was instrumental in New York City, hanging out with Bella Abzug and Gloria Steinem, and had asked if I would be involved in the women's rights movement. But by the time I came of age, unfortunately, it had suffered a miserable death. But it really wasn't a death. It was just a stall out like you would have in your vehicle when you run out of gas for a second or two, and you got to walk on over to the gas station and get some help.
Interesting point you bring up, because in the early days of the feminist movement in the 70s, a lot was accomplished. Women got credit. Women got to put their names on the titles of houses. However, I must admit, in Johnson County, Kansas, that is a most recent thing, because it was Mr. John Smith and WIF when I went to the county to check my title, and I was just dumbfounded. This was about 10 years ago. They've since changed it so the man and woman's name is on there. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. And so the reason why I am working on the Equal Rights Amendment is I come from a legal background. I worked for an international attorney by the name of Melvin Belli. When I married my late husband, I discovered that, and it was to my surprise, because I'm a wild child from California, that his mother was one of the first women priests in the Episcopal Church, known as one of the Philadelphia 11. And they were the first group of women to be ordained in the Episcopal Church, and their ordination was considered irregular. Although there was a group of a number of people that wanted to make it illegal, it was considered irregular because at the time of their ordination, there was no such a church law that permitted for women to be ordained. And that birthplace of the ordination is also part of Kansas City history, because my late mother-in-law's father was Bishop Edward Randolph Wells II, Bishop of the Diocese of West Missouri, and she was first ordained a deacon here in Kansas at St. George's Episcopal Church.
So, and it's an interesting story, because I saw the Katrina's Dream website and was trying to piece it together, and I think I've kind of got a good handle on it. Your mother-in-law's name was Katrina, and when she was a little girl, she was introduced to Eleanor Roosevelt.
Correct. Actually, everybody who thought they were introducing her to somebody thought she was going to be more impressed with Churchill and Franklin, but she was more impressed by Eleanor. Katrina was always a feminist. And
even as a six-year-old.
Yeah, but she didn't come to fully realize that till she was much older.
Well, tell about the Botswana connection.
Okay, so long story short, she and my father-in-law, George, who's also a Episcopal priest, met while she was in Radcliffe and he was at Harvard. At that time, they were two separate colleges, one for boys, one for girls. And she and he got married. They had a lovely life together, quite adventurous. And in his on his second parish in Kalinga, they entered into a parish exchange in which they went off to Botswana for a year with Olaf, the older brother to my husband, and William. And while there, she observed abuses taking place in the with the male clergy. They were forcing young women to have sex with them prior to having communion. And she found that to be of great offense. So offensive that when she came back to the United States, that was what her inspiration to becoming a woman priest was, because she realized then that if this was taking place in Africa, what kind of places abuses were taking place here in the United States, and that if a woman was, say, for being, say, raped, would she be necessarily comfortable talking to a male priest about rape, or would she be more comfortable talking to a woman priest? And then she started thinking about, well, if women were being abused, who did they go to? Were they going to men for advice, or were they able to go to women for spiritual advice? So that was her first thoughts of becoming a woman priest. She comes back to the United States, and she called her father, who was bishop at the time of West Missouri, which is in Kansas City, and she said, "Pops," and I'm just paraphrasing this, "I need an appointment." And he was, being family, he was like, "Why do you need an appointment, you know?" And she was like, "Well, for this, I need an appointment." Because there was a definite separation between the family ties and this movement, but it was important that he was a part of the process, because she did have these connections to the church. She was instrumental, like all the women of the Philadelphia 11 and their spouses and all that came together. It was a big family deal. The church is about community. The church is about family. So it took a coalition, even within the church, to move this forward. Like, it's going to take a coalition of women coming together and stepping up to the plate at whatever level they can. It doesn't make a difference if you have $100 or a penny, because like in the Bible, there's a story about the widow who gives all that she has. Sometimes giving all that you have is simply when you get that phone call and it says, call your congressman, call your senator, pick up the phone and urge them to co-sponsor in the other. So I'm going to push for two resolutions at this moment. There's two resolutions in our legislators in D.C. One is in the Senate, and that's SJ-15. And the other is in the House, and that's SJ-113. They are both about the three-state strategy. There's another Equal Rights Amendment resolutions out there, but we don't focus on that because that's going to be more time consuming. This one gets the ball rolling. The ERA has already been ratified by Eisenhower and Johnson. It was initially a Republican movement, and during the Civil Rights Movement, it went over to the Democratic Party. But this is a nonpartisan issue. Women's rights are not about whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. It's not whether you're about pro-choice or pro-life. It's about women's rights. Roe versus Wade was very clear. It made abortion a matter of privacy, not a matter of women's rights. So let's be clear here what the ERA will do. The ERA is going to empower women. It's going to give us our fair say over our health choices, yes, but there are choices, not anyone else's. It's going to give us an ability to make money and take care of our families better. So many women right now, according to the Shriver Report, 1 in 3 live in poverty in America. And what's that number? I think it's 70-80% are women, head of households. Come on now. How can you expect a woman when our haircuts are more expensive, our clothing is more expensive?
Our dry cleaning.
You hear what I'm saying. So when we make less and our expenses are more, just simply because we are women, how are we ever going to get ahead of the game? And then when we do make all these sacrifices, as we expect both parents to do, whether they're male or female or transgendered, whatever, that doesn't come into play. But when people are stepping up to the plate to take care of their families, their children, and one is discriminated against, where they're getting less pay, what it means at the end of the day, when women are hitting into Social Security, they haven't paid the same amount of money in. So they're going to die more likely in poverty, and hate to say it, yep, they're going to eat that cat food.
And that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it really is.
Oh, wow.
We're going to just stop for a minute. This is a very interesting conversation that we're having here with Helen Swanson. Thank you so much. But we're going to stop just for a moment. We've got, you know, a station break to take, and then remind our listeners again, too, about the pledge drive. So if you're enjoying our public affairs programming, please give us a call, 888-931-0901.
Get your instrument and play along.
Funding for KKFI provided by Music Together, an early childhood music and movement program for babies, toddlers, preschoolers, and the grown-ups who love them. Now found in over 2,500 communities around the world. Our three-day teacher training workshop will be held in Kansas City, October the 11th through the 13th. Learn our research-based approach and how you can join our teaching learning community. More information is at musictogether.com.
Okay, and we are back to Every Woman with our guest today, who's Helen Swanson. But we'd like to remind our listeners, too, that this is still the Fall Pledge Drive, and we'd like you to give us a call. Show us your support of public affairs programming. The number to call, 888-931-0901, or you can go online. You can do this online at kkfi.org. We've got some great gifts to give away if you'd like to call in. The $90 level brings you the T-shirt, the guest DJ, which could be a gift for someone. The holidays are coming up. That's a $150 donation. And then if you'd like both, well, we make it a combo and we throw it in for $200. So 888-931-0901.
Something we don't talk about enough, perhaps, it just came up with Helene talking about women's pay that as women and the underserved in our community, our wages are lower. And we throw out here, well, give us $90 and we'll give you this. How about if you can give us $10 or $15 or $20? There's no amount too small to pledge. And as we said earlier, if you could make a $5 a month pledge from your bank account or your credit card, that would be welcome too. And it would provide KKFI with the much needed funds that we need to keep on the air. And our major expenses are electric, utility, and rent payments is our major expense here, I think. So if you would help with that, if you would consider that as a first-time pledger, we would really appreciate that. And please let us know it's the first time you've called in. If you are able to call in a pledge at any level, we will really appreciate that, because sometimes we neglect to think that there are people out there who are in circumstances that don't allow them to give us a $200 pledge just right off the top without budgeting for it. So please consider calling in. And we know you're out there listening, because every time we open the phone lines, you call us. So we would like to hear from you men out there too, because you call in often, more often than women do, actually. So this program and KKFI welcomes the pledges of men who listen to public affairs. We Absolutely. Will not shame you at all Absolutely. For calling in on every woman. In fact, we will thank you. And we do have some people to thank. Amy Bell is calling in her pledge for every woman, who's our co-host who's absent today.
Right.
And also Mary Mosley, who says every woman is her favorite show on KKFI.
Oh, thank
you,
Mary.
Yeah. So I know Mary's listening. In fact, Mary is going to be meeting with Helene very soon when she heads to Jeff City, mm-hmm. because they have just connected. Mary Mosley is a oftentimes guest on Every Woman and a feminist from the beginning of the feminist movement. She's involved in the three-state strategy in Missouri, and we've talked about that on the show, and it's a very important movement to get this ERA ratified. Now, you were leading into the House and Senate resolutions, but yesterday, maybe we want to hear from Marion first. Marion, what do you have? Marion's from Lawrence, Kansas, and brought Helene to the show today.
Thank you, Marion.
Hi. I am so proud to be here today with Sharon and with Helene. And I think the main thing I wanted to offer is that young women today often don't even know what the Equal Rights Amendment is, or if you say ERA, they have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And so it's important for those of us that are old enough to remember the ERA to be talking about it with young women, to describe what was life like in the 70s even, and to be explicit about why we need the ERA. Go, read up on some things if you want to help have, communication of what it is young women would need to know. And I did want to say one thing. I'm not totally unbiased here. I have a family connection to Helene, which I think we talked about a little bit. Her mother-in-law, Katrina Wells Swanson, was my mother's roommate at Barstow School in Kansas City. And Katrina was my sister's godmother, my sister Emily. And George and Katrina Swanson both really influenced my youth and sparked my interest in human rights, and particularly in the Equal Rights Amendment. And like many women, I have a lot of family commitments right now. My mother lives with me. She's currently in the hospital. But she was very moved to meet Helene, because this is the first time we've met. And despite my family commitments, I've felt it's really important for me to do everything I can to support Helene on her walk as she is promoting the Equal Rights Amendment, because it will make everyone's life better, not just women's life better.
Because women have families. Women have husbands and uncles and brothers and sons. And when women have equality, we hope there will be more fairness to go around for everybody.
Well, and I believe men will be happier when women feel equal, when women realize their equality. We will get along a lot better, I think.
Yeah, that could very well be true. Eileen, do you want to tell us about the visit yesterday in Cleaver's office?
Yeah, I think what I'm going to do to give the concept of how the pilgrimage works and how it ties into the visit would be good here. I left from San Francisco, California on March 8th, 2014 of this year, which is International Women's Day. And the concept of the pilgrimage is as I walk, I can't reach out to Episcopal churches and other faith groups because I am not a cradle Episcopalian. I come to this faith as I married into it, even though I was baptized Episcopalian as a child. But I am I'm multicultural, multiracial. I have an interesting background. And I think that every faith group needs to step up to the plate. So I reach out to all faith groups because religion has been one of the biggest oppressors of women since we can recall. And I think just as much as religion and the church has oppressed women, it's time for religion, the church, to step up to the plate and lift and empower women. And that was what was Katrina stood for, was empowering women in the church. And I like to see that go to now every church and every religion and every institution that there is, education, religion, and governance. So the concept of the pilgrimage is I walk about 10 to 20 miles a day on any given day. If there's a church in view, I knock on the door. If people I see want to speak to me on the street, I speak to them and give them as much information as possible. I direct them over to our website, www.katrinasdream.org. That's Katrina's Dream. And I also visit with congresspeople and senators along the way. What we do is we visit with them. We present them an advocacy pack, which is not just of my own material, but other people's material, such as this lovely lady by the name of Eileen. I hope I got her name right. Eileen McCabe, who has this great point on the three-state strategy and outlining how the Constitution has the word he in it, not she or we or they, but he. And she's the one who brought to my attention about Roe versus Wade and the abortion issues. She very clearly outlines it. So we go to different organizations like ERA Action, which is part of Progressive Democrats of America. I am nonpartisan. So I'm hoping that this little radio show is going to reach a few Republicans to demonstrate that this is a nonpartisan issue. So we go to both Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, whomever's out there, whoever can hear this message, asking them to all come together as this is a nonpartisan issue. I meet with senators. I meet with congresspeople. So yesterday, Marion and I drove over to Congressman Cleaver's office, and it had been a lot of hit and miss reaching him because I am walking, so it's hard to get phone calls, you know, and they came through on Wednesday saying, yep, whatever time you like, come on in. And the very first thing his field rep legislative aide, Jeff Jolie said, is, you know, I think you're going to you'd be happy with this meeting. And he had a little smile on his face and a little turn up in the cheek. And I knew right then and there we were golden. Now, I cannot say that Congressman Cleaver has signed on yet. But at the end of the meeting, we were given every clear indication that come the next session, we would see his name on the roll. But Jeff had to make sure he had confirmation. But it's pretty much a go that Cleaver's
I will tell
on board.
You, Congressman Cleaver's often a guest here, and he is a big fan of women and minorities, and really stands, I think, for what we as so-called liberals, progressives, feminists, whatever it is, I think you can count on a Congressman Cleaver to stand.
Well, I'm
with
hoping
us.
Now that we can push Blunt and Caskill next, because we have meetings scheduled for them on November 7th, and we're going to have an awesome rally in St. Louis on November 8th. The location is to be determined because we're still organizing as we go. I mean, this is a walk and work in progress. It's a fly by the seat of your pants. You know, you have to check our website. You have to go to the Facebook page for Katrina's Dream, which is obviously Katrina's Dream. And you go there, you see what's going on. You're also going to see most interesting breaking news regarding all the different things we're involved with, because, yeah, I got to plug a few other things here, not that I really want to, but it is our ministry. And Katrina's Dream is involved in anti-death penalty. We believe that the death penalty should be abolished. We also are very active with outreach to the homeless. We have we work with the Diocese of Botswana in promoting orphanage to university education, and we're duplicating that same program in India. So we're an international organization that has a number of different things, but our focus, as requested by my late mother-in-law, Katrina, while she was dying of cancer, was get the ERA. So Katrina's Dream is about the full inclusion of women in society. And I cannot impress enough how important it is, like Marion said, for us to look to these young ladies who are growing up now that when you speak to them don't know about the ERA. So if there's a grandmother out there and she's got a two-year-old, no time like the present.
I would like to say thank you so much, Helene, for being here today. And also, though, it occurred to me several times throughout the interview, can you quote what the simple ERA statement is for people so that they can know how dangerous and subversive it is?
Well, there's three portions, and it's basically to... Boy, the actual language I don't have memorized. Boy, you put me on the spot. It's basically no one should be discriminated on account of sex.
Sex and gender. It's pretty much simple, yeah.
It's a very simple thing. It's the first part is that. The second part is about no discrimination on account of sex. The second part is regarding jurisdiction. And the third part is that it will take place in 2 years, and that will bring me back to Eisenhower and Johnson, being that it is certified once we get the three states, and we're so close. Come on, Illinois. Folks in Illinois, if you're hearing this, call your representatives. Okay, get Illinois to be the first state in the 21st century. Let's have Missouri and Kansas is already on board, so we're good there.
Kansas used to be a progressive state. I don't know what's the matter with Kansas.
Well, you know what? Once we get that ERA, it's going to be all good.
Yeah. Thank you, Helene. And now we have a short message. No, we don't have a short message. We may have a guest on the phone, and I need to call Ann Pritchett into the studio.
All
She's
right.
sitting out. Maybe as you guys leave, you could go out into the telephone room and tell Ann that her presence is requested in the studio. Thanks so much, Marion, for contacting me on Facebook, and Helene Swanson.
How long is the show?
This show's an hour long.
Okay,
and if you can hang around afterward, we will send you a yes.
All right,
and
good.
We will send you away with a thumb drive if you're
perfect.
Able. Okay,
right.
Great. Hello. Are you there? Nobody's there. What's happening, Beth? Okay, here comes the phone call. We're expecting a phone call, and I think we may be having a problem. Ann has just joined us in the studio. Ann, did you get a chance to hear any of that interview?
I was answering the phones.
She was answering the phones. Okay, good for you. Are you there, Dr. Kristen Newhouse?
Hi, yes, this is Chris. How are you, ladies?
Hi. A long time we haven't talked to you. Ann's here. She's just getting connected and hooking into microphone four. You got your... Can you hear Ann?
Yes, I
good,
can.
Good,
hey,
good.
Chris, how are you?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm so honored to be on here with Helene. I hadn't heard about the walkthrough here, so that's
awesome,
really great news.
It is awesome, and to think about the connection right back here to Kansas City with her mother becoming one of the Philadelphia 11 ordained priests, the first Episcopal priests. And I asked prior to the show, you know, it was probably a lucky thing that that Katrina's father was the bishop. That was probably helpful, but there were 10 other women ordained at the same time. But it is amazing the connections that it takes sometimes to get the job done.
It is.
Yes, that's right. Yes, I remember. I actually was raised in the Episcopal Church, so I appreciate that history personally.
Wow, that is fascinating. So, Kristen, tell us about you know, I've introduced the fact that you were pretty much a throwaway product of our Kansas legislative system in the fact that they threw away or took away your medical license, and you are not allowed to practice medicine in the state of Kansas or anywhere else, I suppose. Well, no, they couldn't remove it anyplace else, but I don't know that you have a license anyplace else to practice.
Right. Well, you know, that's the thing. Medical licenses, strangely, are just state-regulated. You know, it makes sense for lawyers to have state-based licenses because the laws are different from state to state, but really medicine doesn't vary that much from state to state, but it still is just within the purview of the state to regulate licenses. So I could apply for licenses in other states, but unless you're living there, it's not very practical. So really the only practical other place for me to practice would be in Missouri. I used to have a Missouri license, but I let that lapse years ago because I didn't really need it. I could go through that now, but with an ongoing court case, it would make it more difficult, and then they would have possibly some reason to deny it just based on the ongoing case in Kansas. So being in a position where I didn't have money to just throw away on a gamble, I've elected to just let the process sort of run its natural course, which, as we all know, is very slow. The wheels of justice turn inexorably, but they're not the fastest thing in the world. So, you know, the way where we are now with that is that we won our appeal at the district court level, but the board, of course, appealed their rather dramatic loss, and we're in the process of working out some kind of negotiation at this point, hopefully to just end it, and then I'll be back in a position where I can reapply for my license as if it hadn't been revoked in the first place.
How long ago was this license revoked?
I think it was a couple of years ago. It's so long. I mean, all of this has been going on since the 90s, not just with me, but with other providers. If you look at the history of the board, the average there weren't very many abortion providers in the first place, but of the ones that were licensed in Kansas, over half of them have been investigated and had adverse judgments by the board. And the vast majority of these were brought by Operation Rescue operatives, either Troy Newman or Cheryl Sullinger. Mm. So what has happened is the board has allowed itself either wittingly or unwittingly to be pawns of a radical anti-abortion group that is on the record numerous times stating that their whole goal is to make abortion inaccessible anywhere. So they should, you know, in a real system where the justice system worked, they would have been charged with, you know, RICO statutes where they're interfering with lawful business, which is exactly what they do. They call up and harass businesses, threatening to boycott them if they deliver trash services or banking services or whatever. I mean, and all this is well documented, but it just goes ignored. You know, it shows the lack of functionality of the state's legal mechanisms to even allow this.
What about the federal laws, Chris? That's what I've always asked. Aren't there federal laws in place that are supposed to be protecting these clinics and the people who work there?
Well, yes, the FACE law that, for example, when I worked at a Wichita clinic, not Dr. Tiller's, but the other one over on Central, we tried to have the FACE law applied to keep protesters out of the immediate driveway, which we shared with a building that was run by the anti-abortion people. And basically we were told that since nobody had ever applied FACE, they really didn't know what to do with it, so they just chose to ignore it. And then some other things that happened was the particular police precinct captain of the area involved there over on Central was a known pro-life person, and he had made the statement to his junior officers or whatever that they didn't need to bother with, you know, any complaints from us. So,
I'm hearing from Beth, Dr. Chris, that we have a caller on the air. I hate to interrupt you, but we always love it when people call in. Let's see what this caller has to say. Caller, you're on the air. What's your first name and what part of town are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Zoe. How are you?
Well, hi, Zoe. We're fine here.
Oh, I've been listening in because my friend Helene was just on, the pilgrim who's walking across America for the RA.
Where are you calling from?
Newport Beach, California.
Bless your heart. I had a feeling. Oh, I'm so happy to hear from you.
Well, the wonder of the internet, isn't it fantastic that I could find you?
It is fantastic. Yes, yes.
Well, you asked a very specific question, and I am a person with an answer.
Okay.
You had asked for the exact wording, the 24 words of the Equal Rights Amendment, and I'm really happy to say I have them for you.
Okay, that would be great.
And they're only 24, so don't worry.
I know, they're scary words, too, but go right ahead.
Equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex.
Great.
Works
and, you know, it's the same language we had for the vote. That it simply was, you know, the 19th Amendment set the pace for this language, and now we have equality under the law here. So, yes, it's quite a scary thing. I was in Illinois during the big fight in 82, and you'd think we were asking to move a mountain.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But, anyway, yes, we are hoping that in our lifetime, I've been working on this now for over 40 years, that the United States Constitution will include every American citizen. That's our hope.
Thank you so much, Zoe, for your call
from
Newport.
Thank you for calling, Zoe.
Thank you. Oh, my, thank you for answering. I'm going to listen to the rest of the show.
Okay, great. Thank
Bye.
You. Bye-bye. I wasn't sure what that call was going to be. It could have been a heckler. Who knows? But it was a nice call. Are you there and ready to proceed, Dr. Chris?
Yes, sure. Good. And that was great to hear that again.
Yes, it was.
It is just absolutely amazing that we're still fighting this battle today. But I think the thing to remember is that it's very, very easy to get into the mindset that things always move forward and never move backwards. But the historical record shows that that's definitely not the case. It's not an upward and beyond thing. It's always a battle, and it's very easy to slide into a literal kind of dark age. You know, we've seen this happen with many civilizations in the past. So the rights that we have today represent the struggles of the past and the ongoing things. And, you know, we used to say in the more radical movement that there are no rights, only struggles, and I think that's actually very true.
In this situation, definitely true.
Wow. I mean, with the ERA and with women's right to have control over her own body, I mean, such a radical notion. It's just unbelievable.
Well, and how about the gay marriage stuff this week? Did you ever think Johnson County would be the first county to, and they actually had a wedding, and then the Supreme Court said, oh, wait a minute, we should have known it was too good to last.
Yeah. It's amazing, but I think maybe we are making some steps forward. And, you know, this might be a good time just to mention to people there is an election coming up, and if you care and want something different, you might want to vote for change. If you want the same thing, don't go to the polls or vote, you know, the status quo. Just saying. Okay.
Okay.
We have a message now, do we?
We do have a message that we've got to take care of. Also, looks like we've got a thank you for the pledge drive.
Yes, we'd like to thank Marion Dyer for her pledge.
Okay, Marion, thank you so very much for pledging to KKFI. And for those of you who are enjoying the public affairs programming that we have here on KKFI, you can give your pledge as well. The number 888-931-0901, or as we've seen by the magic of streaming that we had our caller from Newport, you can go on to kkfi.org. You can make your pledge there. So we'll stop for just a moment for a break, and then we'll get back to our interview with Christine.
Get your instrument and play along.
The Funding for KKPI provided by Music Together, an early childhood music and movement program for babies, toddlers, preschoolers, and the grown-ups who love them. Now found in over 2,500 communities around the world. Our three-day teacher training workshop will be held in Kansas City, October the 11th through the 13th. Learn our research-based approach and how you can join our teaching learning community. More information is at musictogether.com.
Okay, and before we get back to that program, we'll just give out the number one more time.
Good job.
888-931-0901. Or if you'd like to donate online, you can at kkfi.org. We still have all those thank you gifts to give away. We've got...
And T-shirts and guest DJ spots and the both of them together. Or... just make a smaller contribution. Everything counts. And
Sustaining is a good way to do the smaller contribution. $10 a month to your credit or your debit card for as long as you like. And that way it's, you know, it takes away from all the, you know, the paperwork and everything. And more of that support comes back into our local community radio station. So do 888-931-0901 or by going online at kkfi.org.
Thank you. And Dr. Chris, you're with us still.
Hi, yes, I have a question for you ladies. Is it it's over 25 years now that KKFI has been on the air, is that right?
That's right. 1988, they got on the air after 11 years of an idea that they just kept working toward.
Well, and you know, Mike and I remember that. We actually went to a planning meeting once, and I can't remember who it was, but there was one of the people who was on that planning meeting was also involved with clinic support for Planned Parenthood, which I think is how we ended up hearing about it. But it was just so cool to see that go from that dream to, you know, actually erecting, like, the wasn't there a tower involved at some point you had to buy?
Yes, they had to raise a whole lot of money. At the time, I think it was $100,000, which 25, 35 years ago, because I believe this idea started in 1977 in a community class at UMKC, and that group held together 11 years making that dream possible until they finally got on the air in 1988. Yes,
that's
absolutely.
So cool. That's
a wonderful story. We're so lucky to have KKFI. There is no other station here in Kansas City that's airing this kind of programming.
Yeah, that's right. And I think the public radios have been under pressure, too. We know that PBS certainly had issues where they were forced to air more, I guess, right-wing perspective.
Well, the Kochs are controlling PBS now, I believe. It's very sad.
Right.
And Bill
Moyers
is retiring again.
Again, yeah. I hear he's very old, though, much older than he looks to me.
I think he's in his mid-80s, isn't he?
That's what the word was last night. And I say again, David Barsamian, Alternative Radio, is going to be at All Souls Unitarian Church tomorrow at 10 a.m. That's at 4501 Walnut Street by the Kemper Art Gallery, if people don't know where All Souls is. And he will be very interesting to listen to. And he airs, I believe, on Wednesday mornings on KKFI at 10 a.m. And, again, that number, I know Beth's going to say it again here.
Our pledge line number, it's 888-931-0901. And as we've mentioned several times throughout the pledge drive, of course, that we have the online streaming and that donations can be made online as well. So, kkfi.org. We have the gifts. The $90 level gets you the T-shirt. $150, it's a guest DJ certificate that's good for yourself, or you can give that away as a gift for the music lover, the public affairs lover in your family. We've got the holidays coming up, so that would make a fantastic gift. Or the combo. We throw the two together. It's a $200 donation, and all you have to do is call 888-931-0901 or go online at kkfi.org. www.thepeacefulgift.org.
And I might add, we will accept smaller gifts, too, very gladly.
Absolutely.
So don't feel bound at the $90 level. A $25 level will suit us just fine, even less if you desire. So don't be shy. Pick up that telephone and call us right now. I know there's a lot of things in our lives that we tend to support. I have many causes that I contribute to, and you know, sometimes I know we have to prioritize, but if we give a little bit here and a little bit there, it all adds up, and we can still support all of our organizations.
And speaking of, you know, local, we have the Renaissance Festival. This is the last weekend, and for a $25 donation, we'll give you a ticket for the Renaissance Festival. So,
hey, that sounds pretty good. Is this the last weekend already?
I haven't been to it.
I know, it's hard to believe.
And it's still going through Monday.
My gosh, I'm going to miss it this year, evidently. Okay. Dr. Chris is also going to be, and I'm not sure Ann knows this, Dr. Chris is going to come into Kansas City and actually be at the Kansas State Now Conference, which is going to be in the annex down here at KKFI on November 8th.
That's wonderful.
And yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
You know, I've been talking with Amy, who's not here today. She's the president of Kansas Now. And she's like, well, it seems like Dr. Chris would be better suited to talk about women's health. You know, it's like we want to talk. And I know from Mike, who said you've been working in some communities of low-income people and that you had some amazing stories there. So we were thinking there could be a whole lot of things you might be able to address at this conference November 8th.
Sure, yes. A lot of the work we're doing is really exciting. We're working with community groups that have pretty much taken charge of their own health because the system has more or less left them behind, so they've self-organized, which is something, I guess, that appeals to my sort of anti-bureaucratic nature because, you know, I don't know, I think a lot of times when things get so big, it's really easy for leaders to lose track of the individual faces. So if you're not getting, you're not being heard by your legislator or whatever, one way that you can deal with that is to build your own community or use the community that you have to create the resources that you need yourself. So a lot of the work that we do is focused around that, like working more intrinsically in the communities that we're interfacing with.
And how is that being accomplished? And
we're not doing it. We're just observing it and helping where we can. So mm-hmm. One of the doctors that I work with has a degree in journalism, but she's in our department at KU, and she works with the African American churches with a lot of their health initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we just bring one particular project that she's doing right now, which is around colorectal cancer, and just asking that, you know, people take a look at the information that we have and use it in a way that they see fit, you know, for their community. And because it's so much more effective if people see the value of something themselves. So what we do is called community-based participatory research, and it's based on a kind of a more activist tradition and research that started in South Africa, and it was shown to be very effective in working in situations where communities that have been traditionally sort of ignored or disenfranchised by the majority, because it's so necessary to have a relationship of trust between the quote-unquote researcher who often doesn't really understand the community and may have, they do have their own agenda. The agenda that we're driven by is the need to get funding, and that funding all comes from the NIH or similar groups. I mean, they're local or other groups like Robert Wood Johnson and whatnot, but our agenda is not the same as the agenda of the community that we work with, but using this process, the entire research cycle from conception to dissemination of the information is controlled to a large extent by a collaboration. And, you know, the more collaborative it is, the better, because then we make sure that the entire project serves that community, and we each bring our strengths. So we bring our knowledge and our infrastructure, and the community brings its own understanding and needs, and it turns out to be, it's really great, and it's fun, and I love it. It's, you know, it's what, I guess, it's sort of an activist dream job, I guess.
Sounds great. I'm glad that you have something that is that fulfilling, because this has got to be a frustrating period of time for you.
Well, I mean, that my other job I love too, but right, and I haven't given up on that. But this has been really a wonderful opportunity to extend my understanding of how things work. And, you know, not to make it sound all rosy, actually the grant situation at the federal level is pretty bad, and many, many people are leaving research because only about 5% of grant applications are funded at this point. Mm. And, you know, I think we all know where the money is actually going.
Could it be the war machines?
The rich are getting richer, and it's all going to the war industry. But
right. And Wall Street. Wall Street
Wall
needs some money.
Wall Street's doing well, yes.
Oh, yeah, sure. But that's all a house of cards that, you know, will, as the fracking situation turns out to be a false pie in the sky, we'll see some big changes, I think, with Wall Street, too.
Well, Dr. Chris Newhouse, thanks so much for joining us today, and thanks to your husband, Mike Cadell, for arranging this. And we will see you on November 8th at the Kansas Now Conference right here at KKFI.
Thanks,
okay,
Chris.
Great. Thanks, you.
Mike, too.
Have a successful fun drive. I'm sending in my pledge now.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. And that telephone number is 888-931-0901. There's still hours yet today for you to call in to the station and make that pledge. And coming up next is Urban Connection with Donna Wolf, and followed by Guess Who's Coming to Kansas City. And we shall talk to you next week.